What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
You're on at 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike, and a very good morning and welcome to the studio. Kelly from the Fox Glove Project, it is lovely to have you back in the studio. It feels like it's been a long time since we caught up.
I know, it does feel like a long time because it has been, but it's only been a few weeks, and I'm loving being back because once again being able to talk to people about their stories, about how they got going in a not-for-profit charity world. So good, isn't it?
Love it. We have spoken to so many amazing people that you know, that you're connected with, that live in Perth.
I know.
Everyday people. We're calling it Everyday Impact, and I love hearing the diversity of the stories of what people do, not only locally, but across the state, the nation, and a lot globally. Which is incredible.
Next time is going to be a local person who does work in local high school. So that'll be different. Yeah, that'll be a really cool one. But today
nice little tease there, Kelly, for what's coming up in a couple of weeks.
And many people out there will maybe have heard he's been involved in high school. So that'll be a really good one to hear.
That might be enough info.
Enough info.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. But today, we're going to be we're chatting with Jennifer Quartermain. Good morning, Jennifer, and welcome to the studio.
Yeah, it actually is great.
It is. It's all okay. We're all okay technically. No, okay. We're having a few technical. We're sitting in our brand new video studio today, so we're testing a few things out. But we're going to talk to Jennifer from EmpowerAid. And can you just give us a little bit of a tease about what Jennifer does with EmpowerAid?
Well, I don't want to
not to take the whole story,
too much
Kelly.
Away, but
I know you could. Is it?
She might be back.
Oh, okay, I should come back on again.
All right, there we are. Good morning, Jennifer, and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here.
Microphone is working.
We can do fixes.
Yes, we can.
Great to have you here, Jen.
Thanks, Kel. Thanks, Mike.
Well, tell us a little bit about EmpowerAid. How did it all come about?
Well, what does it do? I want to know what it does.
Yes, so many questions.
Well, we are a volunteer training organisation. It's a bit of a different call. But we actually run a training college in Mymensingh in Bangladesh.
Yeah.
And we run a training college in Dili in Timor-Leste. And now we're supporting a lady who we trained from Halls Creek to start set up her own training in remote communities up north.
Oh, wow.
So it's a bit different, it is. During non-COVID times, normally how it works is we take teams of women from around Australia.
Yeah.
I've also taken one from Spain as well, actually, to developing areas to train women from the slums and the villages.
Yeah.
And we train them as if they were paying top dollar for their education.
So you mean they get great
quality. We deliver exactly the same quality as what we would be delivering to apprentices in Australia.
Because that's your background.
That's the background.
So you understand that.
Yep.
So what do you train them in?
So we train them in hairdressing and beauty. And we do personal development and a bit of exercise and try and make it a real holistic type of training program so that when they have completed their course, they are ready to go out into the world, feel empowered, get a job, put food on the table for their kids and just really stop that generational poverty cycle that you see in these places that just goes on year after year.
And how long does that course run for?
It runs for 5.5 months.
Wow.
And we do have boarding facilities as well because some of the girls that come in are from 12 hours away.
Wow. And so in Bangladesh is where you started?
Yeah, so Bangladesh is where we started.
And how many women have you trained there?
Now I'd say 400 probably. Yep, just over 400. And with that 400, we've actually done our own research. And I know there's a lot of generic stats around, but the research we've done in Bangladesh says for every woman that we train, it impacts 7 people in the immediate family. So that's, 2,800 getting up to 3,000. So it's really the ripple effect of just that little small action of coming alongside and training a woman.
And this is your background, Jennifer. You trained apprentices in the TAFE system through what's commonly known as an RTO, a registered training organisation.
That's it.
And I love how you explain that. You're a volunteer. So you're still in training. So you've taken all of those years of training apprentices and now training volunteers.
Yep, training volunteers to train...
To train women
and empower women on the ground.
Wow. Yeah,
and that's a fantastic name, Empower Aid.
Yeah.
That's this idea about the kind of aid we give is empowerment. It's it still costs money, I'll say.
Yeah.
But what you're providing is that sense of empowerment and skills for the long term.
And, I mean, obviously it's been tricky because of COVID.
Yeah. How's that impacted you?
Well, we've had to pivot, like most other organisations, and we're actually delivering training online in these places.
Wow. So you have been able to do that?
This week I delivered 30 hours of Train the Trainer in Bangladesh.
Wow. That's incredible. Well, we'll take a break.
No worries.
So we've got a heap of more questions we want to ask you, Jennifer, when we come back. But you are on 98.5. It is Weekdays with Mike, and my guest in the studio today is Kelly from the Foxglove Project, who is you're bringing in all these different guests, and also Jennifer Quatermain from Empower Aid. Back after this one. You are on 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike, and joining me in the studio is Kelly from the Foxglove Project and Jennifer Quatermain from Empower Aid. Amazing thing that you started after all those years in the training apprentices here in Perth. Why? What makes you do something like this? We're fascinated.
That's a really good question, Mike, and it has got quite a long answer, so you might need to stop me through some of it. Actually happened a really long time ago. So I had an experience in my mid-20s that really, really impacted me, and it never left me. So I was one of those young youth leaders at the time, and I went to this conference in 1988 that was over East. And the whole idea of the conference was to help me to learn about helping youth. And I thought, oh, lovely, I might, you know, learn something helpful. little did I know. So one of the speakers at the conference, he was a sociologist. He was an international speaker. He was a pastor.
How old were you at that time?
25.
Okay, so you're 25.
Yeah, so at that ripe age.
Yeah.
And he asked a question that never, ever left me. He said, what do you young people want to do with your lives? He said, do you want the house, the job, the mortgage, and the whole damn catastrophe? And that was exactly his words. And I sort of thought, I just froze on the spot and thought...
Because you thought, you're almost like, of course that's where I'm going. It's almost like that's, you're already automated into that, aren't you?
Yeah, well, it's sort of, that's your sort of life trajectory, isn't it?
It is.
And I thought, actually, no, I don't want to do that. And I was, I was actually quite speechless for a whole day after I heard him say that.
Yeah.
But he went on to talk about some of the issues going in the world, some of the stats, the number of people in dire poverty and whatever. And I just, at that time, made a commitment to God that I would do something to address poverty.
Oh.
All those years ago?
Yeah, all those years ago.
A 25-year-old woman, and she thinks that.
That was the start.
And it actually, now, I think it actually made no logical sense, because at the time... I wasn't in the medical profession. I was just a hairdresser, and I was also a training apprentice at TAFE. Mm. So it was a pretty weird sort of commitment to make, not knowing, thinking I didn't. I don't have.
Come about.
Yeah. How was it possible? Yeah. But nevertheless, I made the commitment, and I totally believed it would happen. I just didn't know when. Mm. So after that, over the next 19 years. Mm. I got married, I did a Bachelor of Education, I focused on all my training and assessments, I upgraded every 3 years like all good trainers and assessors would do.
Oh yes, I think they started at Certificate 4, didn't they?
They did.
I'm very familiar with that, Jennifer.
Yes. I taught at TAFE, I did some teaching in the workplace, I had 3 kids. You know, I just developed quite an unusual skill set, which was hairdressing, education, training, assessment. I focused on empowering women and then did some functional literacy and numeracy and things like that. So it was quite an unusual skill set, but I had no idea.
You were just putting all those pieces together, but you didn't know what you were producing.
I didn't know what I was producing. No. I didn't know where it was going.
So that wasn't deliberate. So you were doing that training, not really knowing.
Not knowing.
Okay.
Yeah, so it wasn't
all
really...
The pieces are kind of like weaving in.
Yeah.
There's that fantastic paraphrase, which is, we live life looking forwards, but we understand life looking backwards.
Yeah.
So you're just looking forwards and doing all these little things, but when you look back, you're going, it was painting a beautiful picture called Empower Aid.
It was insane. Mm. Anyway, so there's a 19-year gap there. 2006.
Yeah.
I was asked a seemingly random question by some friends who'd done mission work in Bangladesh.
Yeah.
They just walked past me one day and said, I'm trying to remember exactly how they put it. Would you ever consider doing training in Bangladesh to train trainers? Or some way of putting it like that. And I just looked at them like, are you serious? And right then and there...
You knew that was it.
I knew that was it. I said...
Did you join the dots there?
That's what she did.
I did. They all fell into place then.
Yeah.
And after I said, are you serious? I said, get it to me in writing, because I thought this has got to be too good to be true. I cannot believe this. So I have with me this old yellowing piece of paper that came 4 weeks later after that conversation.
Yeah.
And I won't read it all to you, but it goes on about Bangladesh and
this
how...
This is 2006.
This is 2006 yeah. and how that there's an overwhelming problem of people for the available resources... about women and how they have such a hard time of things when their men are unemployed or underemployed, and goes on and on and on and on. And then over the page it says, given the background, Symbiosis, which is the organisation, has been looking for suitable staff to provide training for women. Ideally, they wanted a foreigner to come and provide training for trainers. To date, a suitable foreigner has not been available.
Wow. Jennifer, we'll take a break, and Kelly, we'll come back and chat some more. Still got a lot more questions. Curious to know how you actually...
How that worked out. How do you even start?
Yeah. You know, you get all the dots aligning, everything's lining up. So we'll take a break. We'll come back and chat some more. You are on 98.5, and this is Weekdays with Mike. How do you even start something like this? Because it would be pretty overwhelming, right?
Well, after I recovered from getting the letter, it was just so spot on. From 19 years previous to, and then looking at all of the things that I'd done with no idea where it was heading to, and to have that letter was just like, you couldn't walk away from it.
No.
Yeah.
That's a great thought. You couldn't walk away, hey?
So, obviously, as soon as I got the letter, we rang up the organisation and said, we're prepared to come and have a look. So within 5 months I was in Bangladesh, and we did, you know, a week of...
What did you see when you got there? Goodness.
I think that was probably the other real soul issue, other than that time where I sort of committed to God that I would definitely do something to deal with poverty. The other soul time was when I was in Bangladesh, and they drove us around all the different projects that were part of the organisation, and it was just poverty upon poverty, and it was generational, and it had been going on for years, and it didn't matter where we drove.
Yeah.
It was the same level of poverty.
Yeah.
And again, you know, I left and knowing I couldn't walk away from it, we spent a week with a group of women just in a bit of a trial thing to see how we communicated, and, you know, that all went well. So within 12 months, we actually did start in a small way.
Yes.
And I think that's the important part. We started with 12 women.
Yes.
For the first 3 years, we went back and worked with the same 12 women.
Yeah, okay. That's like 2007?
That was in 2008, that was.
Okay.
We did not look outside, even though it was so tempting to just want to deal with all of this stuff that was going on.
Yes.
And to want to be part of the solution. We just stuck with the 12 women. We got... teams from here, probably 4 women at a time, going over, and each time we went, we just did 100 hours of training, and then we'd go back 5 or 6 months later and do 100 hours until these ladies were actually qualified with Certificate 3 in hairdressing.
Okay.
So we became volunteer assessors for another organisation to make sure that that first group actually had a formal qualification, so that we had a really strong foundation.
Yes. You took your time to get established. Now you've got something to build on, haven't you?
Built relationships, got to know the organisation. I mean, these places like Bangladesh and our specialty and the organisation Symbiosis that we work with, they focus in rural Bangladesh.
Mm-hmm.
So you're really talking... The first couple of times the girls saw us come, they cried because we were white and strange.
Wow.
I mean, it was that far out.
So the cultural, it's not just language.
It's not just language, you know, it's everything.
It's not just introducing a new school. It's the whole cultural kind of both obstacles and learnings, isn't it? Nuances.
Yeah.
Can I ask, I mean, thinking about hairdressing, what is the impact of hairdressing in a country like that? What difference does it make?
Basically, it can be like a leg up for those that don't have any opportunity. So you're going to get those that are come from a slightly wealthier family, they would be educated maybe, and then there's that whole group that don't have the opportunity for education.
Mm.
I mean, many of the girls that come into us, they might have done grade 3 or 4.
Mm.
You know, so there's basic literacy and numeracy issues and things like that. But it gives them a pathway to employment. We have to be more patient with them. We have to take a lot more time, whatever. But obviously now we've passed that job on. So once we'd trained these 12 ladies, we selected 4 of them that demonstrated great leadership qualities and that demonstrated great technical skills, and we went back again and did 100 hours of trainer training with them so that they would become the trainers. The last thing we want is for them to be dependent on us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did a fundraiser, set up a training organisation like a TAFE college over there.
Wow.
And from then, now 52 weeks of the year, women from the slums and the villages come in and they're trained.
And you know, women, when you take something like beautician and hairdressing out to a village, women want to use those services.
They do.
Even the poorest women still will, if I've got a little bit of money, just go and get my hair done. Isn't that funny?
Why is that, Kelly? You were mentioning something earlier about this.
I don't know. It's a part of a woman's, part of our worth. To go and get your hair cut or to look nice is just a really something I think we absolutely love. Like, we don't do it all the time. I'm not a glamour girl, really. But you know what? To go and get your hair done is just something that makes you feel great.
Yeah.
And I think even if you're living in a real poverty, if you have a little bit of money. I remember a woman who once said to me, when she took out her very first loan for her business, the first little bit of her loan she used to go and buy a piece of soap to have wash herself.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's that same gist, isn't it?
It is.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue on our conversation. You are on 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike. Joining me in the studio is Kelly from the Fox Glove Project and also Jennifer Quatermain from Empower Aid. Back after this. Kelly from the Fox Glove Project and Jennifer Quatermain from Empower Aid.
Mm.
It's our Everyday Impact segment we do every fortnight, and I love all the different people we get to invite in and hear about some amazing stories. We're nearly out of time, but we've really just scratched the surface, Jennifer, today. We might have to get you back to find out a bit more about what's going on, not only in WA, but across in Bangladesh as well.
Yeah, I know,
well.
I really love it.
But to finish off today, what would you say this? What would be some your advice or some tips today for those that are thinking about, like what you happened with you, there was such a delay, you heard it when you were 25, fast forward 19 years.
20 years, yeah.
Just being patient in this world of we want everything now.
I don't know. I'd say if you believe that you are called to do something in particular and it doesn't go away, hold on to it. Because if it doesn't happen straight away, engage your faith, hone your skills.
Yeah.
I felt like all the years of waiting did hone my skill set, and it probably bashed my attitude into shape a bit as well.
Yeah, a bit of disappointment. You know what happens just in life? Yeah. You have your disappointments and you have your wins and you learn a lot over those 20 years.
And nothing's ever done in isolation. You know, we're made for relationship and, you know, 20-plus different hairdressers and beauticians and support people have come overseas and whatever with us in the last so many years.
Yes, that's true, yeah.
So,
they were all the relationships you've built over those 20 years.
So relationships within the context of EmpowerAid, but also building relationships with these other women who honestly believe when you first meet them that they're good for nothing.
Oh.
It's just, it is pretty frightening when you come across people like that. So to walk alongside people who feel that they're good for nothing and you have an alternative message, you have an economic solution to assist with them and you have some hope for the future.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
That's worth waiting for, isn't it?
Worth waiting for. It was worth the 19 years of waiting.
Worth it, yeah.
Well, the good thing is you are continuing, even through the environment that we find ourselves in, through online, so thank goodness for technology.
Well, you said you did 30 hours of training this week.
That's incredible, actually. So it still continues, which is great. That doesn't have to stop. I would imagine you're looking forward to getting back to do some face-to-face catch-ups with a lot of people.
I've had my vaccinations. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Do you miss them?
Oh,
miss
totally.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, seeing them face to face every day is good.
Yeah.
But it's just not quite the same.
No.
So you can maintain relationship via the screen, But I think when we get there, there'll be big celebrations.
So good. Well, Jennifer, well, thank you for coming in. As I said, we've only just scratched the surface. We may have to catch up another time. My guest in the studio today has been Jennifer Quatermain from Empowerade and Kelly from the Fox Club
Check
Project.
Check out Empowerade and see what they do.
Check out the website. Yeah. Yeah, we'll probably put a link up on our website. That's the easiest way. Head on to 98five.com and follow the links. And Kelly, before you go, I'm looking forward to next fortnight. Can you give us a tease, in case you've just tuned in, who you're bringing in a fortnight? Not who, but maybe what
we've got a local organisation who is working with youth at risk and building resilience and skills training in our local high schools.
Love it. Looking forward to having a chat with that person. We won't say who that is. We'll catch up in a fortnight. You are on 98.5. Yeah. This is Weekdays with Mike. Good morning.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website 98five.com.